I'm down under the Gawler Civic Centre in the Culture and Heritage.
Cultural Heritage Centre.
Cultural Heritage Centre, thank you. And I'm here with Jacinta today, and we're here to talk about the exhibition that's currently on in the Gawler Civic Centre upstairs, the Down the Line exhibition. And Jacinta is the Cultural Heritage Centre Coordinator. Welcome, Jacinta.
Thank you for having me.
And so I'll let you start and just give us a brief description, overview of what the exhibition is about.
So the exhibition Down the Line is about communication, how people in Gawler communicated in the 19th century and right through to most of the 20th century, how they communicated with each other and the wider world. So the exhibition's main themes are the role of the postal service, the telegraph service and the telephone in keeping the Gawler community connected to the wider world, to their families who were often back in the European countries and to each other in and around Gawler.
Because I think nothing probably has changed more in the last 150 years than communication.
Very much so. When the colonists first arrived here from Europe, they could expect to get a letter every 6 months from home. It could take 3 months to get here. They could respond 3 months later. So it was very slow means of communication. When we think about how instantaneous our communication is today, that was a hugely different way of life. And so often very important milestones, births, deaths, marriages, all those sorts of things, they wouldn't have heard or known about for quite some time.
No. Yeah. I think something that for me makes it really clear is finding those notice ads in the papers of, will such and such contact me, my brother. So, for instance, someone who'd heard his brother obviously was coming to Australia and they didn't even know where in Australia. His parents would have written to him. 6 months after his brother actually arrived in Australia, he was advertising in the local papers saying, can he contact me?
Yes. Yes, so, it's really, really interesting. Yes. And because the mail deliveries were not often, you know, they were at the vagaries of the shipping and the ships went down and all the rest of it. You'll see in the early colonial newspapers advertisements for people to come and pick up their mail.
Yes, that's common. Yes. There's always a list of mail to be collected.
There's a list of mail to be collected because those people didn't know that it was there. There was no personal mailboxes. Mm. So, yeah, there was, and, you know, potentially those people had died. Mm. In the time that the mail had got there. So, yes, there's unclaimed mail. It's quite interesting, the amount of unclaimed mail.
Yeah, there are lists in the papers of unclaimed mail. Mm. And quite often too, maybe they just hadn't got in to collect their mail.
So, and that's what you'll see in the exhibition, is that the early colonists in this area were sick and tired of having to go down to Adelaide to
collect their mail. Yes, and that was a big journey
back in those
early days. The roads were very rough.
They were.
It was, of course, long before the train line was established. And dangerous. It was a dangerous journey.
Dangerous journey. They time-consuming when they had a lot of chores just to survive.
Yes.
And so they petitioned to have a post office in Gawler. And you'll see the list of quite notable names from our early colonial days who made that petition and who were, it was granted that they could have a postal service in Gawler on the assumption that it would cost the government no money. So, a service was to be delivered at no cost to the government.
And its postage was quite expensive too at the time, because you hear about the penny post, but it was not penny post, it was a lot more than that.
No, when it was. And one of the things you'll notice in the exhibition is a letter where there's writing in two different directions.
Yes.
And again, that was to save paper and the weight of the mail so that they could get twice as much information in a letter that weighed half as much and wouldn't cost as much to send.
The cross mail, and that's something we don't think about now with paper being so cheap, but back then paper was precious, and getting finely milled paper for letter writing, especially out somewhere like Gawler.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It was a luxury item.
It was a luxury item.
And they would have had to go to Adelaide to buy it in those really early days.
Yes.
But even into the 20th century, people were cross-writing.
They were.
Good paper was still expensive.
It was, and many people will remember the aerogram for when you were writing overseas.
Yes, I sent many aerograms home.
Exactly right. Yes. And so, again, thin paper designed to get as much yes. text onto the page as possible, and to keep the weight down, to keep the postage down.
Because posting overseas, you're still paying for weight. It was still expensive.
It was. And so we have aerograms and some aerogram stationery in the exhibition, which I think will bring back memories for a lot of people.
Yes, yes. And also phone calls. Interstate, I remember the beeps on an interstate call.
Yes.
And Mum would be talking to her sister, and as soon as the phone beeped, her sister would hang up.
Yes.
Very upset.
Yes. And again, that was a cost. It went by minute.
That's right.
We can email, text at virtually no cost anywhere around the world, but for many people, long distance was a big expense.
It was.
You had to think carefully about how long you'd be on the phone for, what you'd be saying. Yes. And all those sorts of things that we just take for granted now, which is one of the things that we wanted to unpack in this exhibition, is how much the technology of communication has changed.
I think even I forget what it was like when you didn't have that instant communication and the cost of communication. So, you know, when I first went overseas, I'd make the first charge phone calls back home all the time because it was very expensive to ring. Whereas now, you know, you can just talk to someone on the other side of the planet for free.
For free. And these, you know, this has all happened in a relatively short space of time.
It's happened very suddenly.
So it's a big change. I mean, it's a great change that we can communicate with friends and family overseas quickly, cheaply and efficiently. But it reminds us, I think, of the hardships that the immigrants to this country have dealt with for a very long time.
And when they first came out, they would never see their families again. They would barely even hear from their families again. It was a complete severance from home and family when they came out here. And it was a huge sacrifice they were making for what they hoped to be a better life.
For a better life, yes, that's right. But interestingly enough, when they came here, they were trying to maintain the type of life that they had behind, which is why it was so important to the early Gaulerites that they establish a postal service, because back home they had post. They wanted to be able to have that here.
I think that's reflected too in the scale of Australian post offices. They're the big building in town. They're the major building. And you look at the first actual post office built here, and it's a huge edifice with a clock tower. It's the centre of Gawler.
Yes.
Whereas when I went to England, I couldn't find a post office because they're tucked away down a back street. They're not significant. But in Australia, the post office was the most significant building because it was the link back to home.
It was. And in the exhibition, you'll see there's a silver trowel that belongs to a private family collection, and that was used to lay the foundation stone for the post office, which was a big ceremony in Gawler on that day because, as you say, it was to be a large and important building.
Yes.
And the community were there for the laying of the foundation stone, understanding the role that that building would play in their lives going forward.
Yes. Yeah.
And it did, because the post office became the telegraph office eventually, and the first telephones were in that space too. So it was a hub of the community.
Yes. And the telegraph is an interesting story as well. And that, another office that employed a lot of women.
Yes. And the telegraph's really interesting because it bring instantaneous news.
Yes.
So virtually within minutes, hours, news from around the world could get to Gawler. And so that changed it. Rather than 3 months in a ship, we could suddenly be aware of activities or major political shifts or wars or all of those sorts of things.
Became
immediate.
Yes.
So that was a big change in the technology and a big change for the community. And what used to happen with the telegraph was that the big news of the day would be written up on a board outside the telegraph office, and so people then knew what had happened, and then it would get printed in the newspaper later, but it was instantaneous knowledge. Big change.
And I think it was during the Crimean War that the cable was laid, and so the first example was getting that instant news from the Crimea.
Yes, yes. And so, in a lot of ways it made the world smaller. It kept those lines of communication open and made things small. And, it's, of course, it made it far easier for the Australian colonies to communicate with each other.
Yes, because originally there was a huge difference, especially South Australia was quite isolated from Victoria and New South Wales. And there wasn't, until the train, it wasn't easy even to get to Victoria from South Australia.
That's right. So the telegraph meant that the news became, you know, available quickly. So if a ship went down in Victoria and it was traversing the route between South Australia and Victoria, South Australians knew in real time, and what that was important because they may have had family on that ship or they may have been waiting on goods for that ship or just, you know, the general information. So it changed how much information people had at their fingertips rather than waiting for the information.
Yes, so that during the war, of course, by World War One, that was well established, but that became so vital during World War One, and the post office played a big role with the delivery of telegrams. Now, telegrams are another thing that if they still do them at weddings?
I don't think they still do them at weddings, but they did for a long time after they stopped using them anywhere else.
It used to amuse me because I would think, I wonder if the younger people, you know, what these are even, the original role, because even by the early 90s, telegrams have become a thing of the past.
They had. And I think one of the very pleasing aspects of this exhibition has been the interest that young people have had in it. And we have a telephone, an old telephone box, and a magneto telephone. So they're very interested in that simple technology. And while young people understand telephones not the way they were, but they have a telephone now, and they're aware of the post, even though it's not used to the extent it was, I don't think they have any understanding or lived experience of a telegram.
No.
It's simply not used anymore. And so we have a little telegraph machine that they can tap out their own little Morse code on, which is fascinating to, it's a lot harder to do Morse code than many people think to do it properly.
Oh, yes.
So to make a differentiation between the dots and the dashes. So that's a lovely opportunity to have a go at a technology that's been superseded and see how well you would have adapted had that been your means of communication or your career job at the time.
And also a telegram was often associated with bad news.
Could be, yes.
Very often, I think. And so, you know, if you got a telegram, it usually was rarely good news.
So there were some that were good news. Yeah. So they did produce greetings for different times of the year. So you'll see some examples in the exhibition of Christmas telegrams and Easter telegrams. Yeah. So there were some for good news. But, yes, of course, during the war years, receiving a telegram was the very worst news, generally. Somebody had been killed in action, potentially a prisoner of war, or injured. So we have one of the panels in the exhibition talks about the telegram that you did want to get, which was the 100th birthday telegram from the Queen.
The Queen, yes.
Because that means that you've had a long life. And the telegram that you didn't want to get, of course, which was from the authorities during wartime about a loved one who was serving.
Yes. So I think we'll wrap up there. One last question, Jacinta, and you mentioned earlier that you're already thinking about the next exhibition, so are we allowed to know what it is to be?
Yes, so the next exhibition will be on births, deaths and marriages in Gawler. So the cycle of life.
Wonderful.
So we'll be looking at the health system and how babies were delivered, either in medical facilities or prior to that in the home. We'll be looking at how marriages have been celebrated, and we'll be looking at our two cemeteries, Pioneer Park, which is our original cemetery, and Williston Cemetery, which is our current state heritage listed cemetery.
Yes.
Both of them are very, very interesting spaces.
They are indeed. And I think it's very telling about the time if you look at the memorial stone up at Pioneer Park.
Yes.
Very interesting. Tells a story of its own.
Yes, it does. It does. And now that we're doing some work on the wall at Pioneer Park, and this is a really good opportunity to revisit that early colonial cemetery.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jacinta.
You're very welcome.
And we look forward. First of all, I recommend thoroughly this exhibition. It's really interesting. And we look forward to the next one as well.
Thank you very much.